Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? That's a hard question to answer, Jesus. Especially right after you thought your life was going to be over for these disciples. For Jesus to ask the question, why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? These disciples, remember, most of them, their former profession had been fishermen on that very sea. Yet this storm that comes up is not one like they had probably seen hundreds and hundreds before. Because we hear that the waves were breaking over the boat. The water was breaking. It's almost this image of like a birth. Something new is about to be born within the disciples as the water is breaking. And the translation is not that great, but what it's saying is that the water was filling up the boat and it was filled to the brim. This wasn't just a little bit of a scare or a little bit of suffering they were undergoing. It had been filled to the brim. It was about to capsize. And he asked them, why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? It's a hard question to relate to. If I'm honest with you, Jesus, what does that faith look like? Because I can relate a whole lot better to the question that the disciples posed to Jesus. Teacher, do you not care that we are about ready to perish? Jesus, don't you care that in the midst of storms, in the midst of the storms that go on out there, in the world where you see a child die tragically, Jesus, don't you care? Storms that take place in here, not in this building, but in the church. Scandal. Jesus, don't you care? The storms that take place in here, in the soul, where you feel like your life is getting ripped apart as they felt like this boat was about ready to get ripped apart by the waves as well. Jesus, don't you care? It's a real and a gut-wrenching question. It's the question that Job posed to God before we're in the middle of God's response that we hear in the reading from Job today. But he was a just man who suffered immensely. And he posed the question to God, don't you care? But he remained faithful to him, and God responded in this powerful way. But the whole question that Jesus posed, do you not yet have faith? What exactly, Jesus, does that faith look like? What does that look like in the midst of a storm? Father Michael Scanlon is a name some of you may know. In the 20th century, in the history of the Catholic Church in America in the 20th century, he was one of the most important figures, especially in one of the greatest storms in the American church in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. And he himself, I'm not going to give you his whole bio, but he finished, he was incredibly brilliant, incredibly talented. First in his class at Harvard Law School, he became a JAG officer in the Air Force. He never lost a case. He ended up becoming a Franciscan friar. But yet his life, he said, in the midst of all of this, even after he had been ordained a priest, his life was still driven by fear. He said it was still driven by fear until something of faith was really born within him. And he tells this story in the very opening of his book. It's sort of his biography, Let the Fire Fall. And he was in the middle of an actual storm. Not on a boat, but on a little airplane, a little Piper Cub. If any of you fly, you know this is a little World War II type plane that barely fits two people inside of it. You're shoulder to shoulder. And he was flying from Chicago to Pittsburgh. And as they were flying, there was this dark cloud ahead. And they were maybe 50, 60 minutes, he said, outside of Pittsburgh. And they called in to see what this dark cloud was. And they said, it's probably just some heavy fog or some smog, some pollution from the valley. And so they go into it. And as they do, they realize real quick that it was this massive hailstorm that they had flown into. And this little Piper Cub airplane that they were in, he said, started getting battered about as if it was a little mouse that a cat was playing with. And so where it would go up like 50 feet and then it would drop 100 and it would just be bouncing all over the place, and he felt the wings were about ready to tear off as these massive softball-sized hailstones were battering against it. And he said he came to the moment where he knew without a doubt that they were going to die. Now, I don't mind flying, but when you hit a little bit of turbulence, I kind of grip into my seat a little bit. I'm fine flying until the turbulence hits and the plane starts bouncing a little bit. I'm gripping into my seat. And I'm praying something of a prayer like, Jesus, please, please don't let us die right now. Jesus, please, I'll do anything. And I wonder sometimes, and these are the thoughts I have now as a priest, how bad would that turbulence have to get before I stand up in the plane and I give everyone general absolution and then we're going down? Because as a priest, I can do that. And I get to wonder these thoughts. And I thought, well, maybe once the masks pop down. I'm like, no, that'd probably be a little early. But I want to before I like faint from fear. So these are the thoughts that go through my mind when there's a little bit of turbulence and the pilot so calmly comes on and says, buckle your seatbelts, we're hitting a little bit of turbulence, be fine. And we're just like bouncing all around and some of the suitcase doors open. But he was in this little Piper Cub and it was, he said, going down. It was getting beat to hell. He turned to God. He made an act of contrition and he prayed. He said this prayer. Lord, I give it all to you, and I trust in your merciful love. Come, Holy Spirit. And he said, in situations like that, your mind can play tricks on you sometimes. But he said, this was no trick, because when he prayed that prayer, when he had placed his life into God's hands, knowing that that's who he was going to see in a moment, he placed his life entirely trustingly into God's hands. He was filled and enveloped with a sense of peace, he said, through every fiber of his being. They were still being battered around in the storm, and he said he sat there in complete peace. The pilot had been a pilot in the Air Force as well, his buddy John. And he had learned something. He just remembered that in a hailstorm, there was a last-ditch maneuver that you could do. You know, with a hailstorm, let's say the storm is going this way. All that hot air, especially if it's summer, and it's the hot air, and you can feel the days in which it's going to hail. It's a heat-heavy humidity that is just weighing down upon you. That heat is going up into the air, and it's pushing in like this airflow. And that's where it keeps pushing the moisture back up as it's trying to fall. And it forms into these ice chunks. But on the other side of the storm, at its front, there's another gust of wind, a huge gush of wind that's coming down in front of it. And it sweeps out in front of the hailstorm. And so if you've ever been foolish enough to stand outside right as the hailstorm is coming, it's different than a regular storm where you get that chill and calm. There's the chill and calm, but then there's a huge gust of ice-cold air that comes at you just for a few moments before the hail starts dropping. And so the pilot remembered that there's this gust at the front of the storm which comes down and sweeps out. And so he put the plane in a nosedive because he's trying to hold on to it as it's battering. He put it into a direct nosedive down toward the ground, that gust has to catch it or they're dead. And it started flying down, and he said, sure enough, the gust of wind 500 feet above the ground took, and it blew them out in front of the storm, and they landed in a little field by Zanesville, Ohio. And he said, in the midst of all this, the storm had still been battering them, but he had complete peace. And as he stepped off that little Piper Cub, he was relieved, but he said, fear, which had driven his life, no longer ruled it. Faith, he said, for the first real time in his life, had been born within him. You may hear that and say, well, that's an amazing story. But it's still pretty unrelatable. It's kind of unrealistic for my life. If you hear that in the back of your mind, that voice is not God's voice. That's not God. What God wants to do is he wants to awaken within you the power of faith that is within you. That when you were baptized, there's a little guy who's going to be baptized in the back of the church this morning. When you were baptized, faith was planted within you. It can lie dormant there for a while, but faith is within you. And Jesus, what he wants to do is awaken that within you. Because there's the power of faith that's within you. The power of the storm is always coming from outside of you. And what the power of the storm wants to do is come from outside of you and get within you. But the power of faith, which gives peace, which only Jesus can give, only you can give that peace away. You're the only person who can give that peace away. No storm can take it. No person can take that peace away from you, which Jesus gives when he is awakened and alive within you. So that you're able not to cling on to your life, not to cling on to your worries like an airplane seat, but instead to place it into God's hands. That's where peace is found. Jesus does not want us to live by fear, but to live by faith in that trust of him. I'm going to pray over you. You can even close your eyes, bow your head, and I want you to call to mind, what's the storm right now? The one that's just stealing your peace, the big or small one, whatever it is. Or it might be a storm that's terrifying you altogether. I want you to name it and to lift it up to God. Not clinging onto it, but lifting it to God. In the name, power, and authority of Jesus Christ, I command you, storms, quiet. Be still. Amen. And to all of you, have faith.